All right, God's standard for interpersonal relationships is love. That standard is love. I have 7 calls to obedience, so I better get at it. I take this as my overall text, Matthew 5, 43 and 44. Jesus said, "You have heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy." But as we were reading in our points to ponder, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." So the first call to obedience is develop benevolence to all. Benevolence. Bene is good, and the volens here is the giving forth of good. If you are benevolent, you give good. I wanted to trace this as a standard of God all the way through. So let's go back and see how this was told, given us by Moses, Deuteronomy 15, 12 to 14. "And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years." The way this worked is that when you were down and out, you still had something to sell, and that was you. So you could go to your fellow Hebrew and say, "I know you have a going farm business here. I would like to sell myself for 7 years. And so how much would you pay for 7-year servant?" And he says, "Up to $13 or whatever it was. And so then you take that and you pay your bills. And then you live on him because he pays, gives you the food and stuff. But God says, let him serve you 6 years. Then in the 7th year, thou shalt let him go free from thee. I paid for 7, but I let him go for the 7th year. And, he says, when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock." You'll give him flock that he worked with. "Out of thy floor," which is the grain floor. "Out of thy winepress, of that wherewith the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him." So as God has blessed you, and I suppose if things were going down, this would be less, but as God has blessed you then, as this man has worked with you, you give him liberally, you give him generously things to help him start up again. You see the attitude here. You have the person who's down and out, and you're helping him get back started. Isaiah, we have a message. Isaiah 58, 7. He's actually talking about fasting here. And they said, "Hey, we were fasting. How come things aren't going better for us?" And he says, "Yes, but this wasn't the fast that I declare." And then he declares what... And you want to try fasting. Try fasting for a week. And try this. He says, "Is it not, the fast that I call, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry?" So at the time you're fasting, he says, be the food servant to others. "And that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh." Needy relatives. Almost the standard of sitcom jokes, you know. And but God says, help them. Help them. From Christ, Matthew 5:42, "Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away." He has an attitude about borrowing that is based upon the idea that you and I are not all about our goods. If we care about someone enough and they say, I really need this, could I borrow it? You say yes, but you have a different idea. Luke 3:11. He answered and said unto him, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. I have two white castles. I'll give you one. And then this one, Luke 12:33. Sell that thou have, give alms, charities, provide yourselves bags which wax not old. If you're keeping all your money, he says that bag is going to get old and have holes in it, and your money's you're gonna lose the money that you're trying to keep. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. Now from the Apostle Paul, Acts 20:35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You say, I really like getting gifts. He says, if you understand it correctly, you will appreciate giving gifts more than getting them. Romans 12:13, distributing to the necessity, to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. That is especially when other Christians needed room. We have a very nice thank you letter, a card from Meseret, who she had her daughter from Israel, where they lived, was in trouble because of the war. They came over here, and the deacons granted them safety at the rental house. She's thanking us for that. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. So to Christians, yes, but as we have the opportunity and the stuff to give, we can help everybody. 1 Timothy 6:18, they that do good, they that be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. This is to share. Hebrews 13:16, my vote that Paul wrote Hebrews. But to do good and to communicate, sharing, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. But if I give to them, I'm sacrificing from me. Yes, and God loves those kind of sacrifices. So you get the idea that all through the Scripture, God has been consistently telling us, look out for others, and if you can, if you have the ability, give to them in their need, not their desires. The second step of obedience, develop sincere, true love. Romans 12:9, let love be without dissimulation. Magicians use dissimulation. Simulation is when you act like you're doing something that you're not. Dissimulation is you act like you're not doing something that you really are. Without dissimulation is actually one word in the Greek, and it means unfeigned, unpretended, undisguised, or positively sincere. Sincere. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Let love not be pretended, but sincere. 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Here he came a stranger to Gentile city and loved them enough to work and labor and give them the gospel and see people get saved. 1 Peter 1:22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, unpretended love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Pure, not defiled, not have a secret agenda, and fervently, this is that comes from the word for heat. heated love. The third step of obedience is show love to the stranger. Now, this is not just some bum that walks by you necessarily, but this is the stranger in need. This is very often in the early church, the wandering preacher, the evangelist who would come. They didn't have, they didn't have motorhomes. They didn't have Motel 6, you know. So the thing is, you had to stay someplace. Well, I don't want to bother with that person. He says, learn to love the stranger. So Exodus 22:21, clear back to the Old Testament. Thou shalt neither vex a stranger, a visitor to your land, a Gentile, nor oppress him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. This is that golden rule thing, isn't it? As you wished they had done to you, you should do to them. Leviticus 19:34, but the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. Treat them like family. And thou shalt love him as thyself. For ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah your God. So he says, I'm the one who brought you out of that. You listen to what I'm saying. Deuteronomy 10:19, love ye therefore the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Deuteronomy 27:19, cursed be he that perverteth the judgment of the stranger, that treats the stranger with injustice because he's a stranger. He doesn't know your ways. The stranger or the fatherless and the widow, and all people shall say amen. This is the rule of God. He says you are to have a kind heart to those who don't have support. Jeremiah 7:6, if you oppress not the stranger, how you do please God, you oppress not the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, shed not innocent blood in this place, neither walk after other gods to your hurt. This is how you will please God. New Testament, Matthew 25:35, for I was an hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. There are stories told of the man who asked God to come and visit him. And that day, three people came to visit him, and he helped them out. But he was disappointed at the end to say that the Lord had never come by to visit him. And the Lord spoke to him, saying, yes, I was there with that needy orphan. I was there with the hungry man, and so on. Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers. Give them the place, as they're serving the Lord, give them a place to stay. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. I think that's a reference to Abraham, but he maybe knew other times that angels were here in the form of men. Lot did that, you remember, and they ended up being the very beings that saved him from the destruction of the land. The last of these are commands that we ought to consider. How to do it, how to think about it, how to plan for it. But God tells us, number four, show love to the poor. Now, these are not the people who choose to be poor so that people will give. These are the people who are down and out due to perhaps some fault of theirs, but not a continuing fault. In other words, they're not spending it all on gambling, or they're not spending it all on drugs. These are the people who need a helping hand. Show love to the poor. Let me start back in Exodus and take you up to Galatians. Exodus 23:11, but the seventh year thou shalt let it rest, the land, and lie still, that the poor of thy people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. He says, you just leave that field alone, and the old seed will come back up. You don't harvest it. But the poor, and you see God's way of handling the poor, was to give them a way for them to earn food for themselves. and even the beasts of the field. God wanted to take care of them as well. In like manner, thou shalt deal with thy vineyard and with thy olive yard. You leave a seventh year for those to come and take it themselves. Leviticus 25:25, if thy brother be waxen poor, he doesn't have any wax. Now that means he has grown poor and hath sold away some of his possession, and if any of his kin come to redeem it, then he shall redeem that which his brother sold. At the end of a period of time, the brother who bought it returns it. Deuteronomy 15:7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from the poor, thy poor brother. He says, keep a warm heart and an open hand. Deuteronomy 15:7, if there be among you a poor man, one of the brethren within any of thy gates, in the land which the Lord thy God, did I just give you that? No, same thing. The Lord giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, thou shalt not shut thine hand. All right. Deuteronomy 24:12, if a man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. So he gives you a pledge against what you are giving to him. If he returns it, you don't keep his pledge, but he's a poor man, he needs it, you give it back immediately. Job 30:25, did I not, this is Job saying, he was not a sinner, he had done good. Did I not weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Psalm 41:1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, thinks about it, does not walk by unthinkingly. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. This is the one who is considering the poor. He gets blessed. Proverbs 14:21, he that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Blessed is he. Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You get the idea. God will pay back. The poor person probably won't pay back, but God will pay you back. And that which he hath given will he pay him again. Proverbs 28:27, he that giveth unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. It's not good for you to think only of yourself. Matthew 19:21, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, and this is not a standard thing for everybody, but he told this man, the rich man, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Give up this life of handling your wealth and just come and follow me. Listen to my words. And then Galatians 2:10. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Remembering the poor. The fifth one is to show love to the weak. These are the people without power, without influence. Romans 15:1. Then we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities, the weaknesses of the weak, and not to please ourselves. It's not all about pleasing self. Find out where they have lack of ability and help them out. Galatians 6:2, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, which was to love your neighbor. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God to show yourself as a Christian, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, we would say heart of mercy today, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering. And then Hebrews 13:3, remember them that are in bonds, that's people that have been jailed, as bound with them, and them that which suffer adversity, suffering hardships, as being yourselves also in the body. And then James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Here's the picture of pure religion: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. When a man died and he had not great wealth, the widow then had no income, and the fatherless was without provision. So you visit them in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. The idea of giving to those who can't pay you back. Then the neighbor. This told us in generalities, but here in specifics. Number 6 is show love to your neighbor. Leviticus 19:18 goes clear back to Leviticus. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. What do you mean you don't want to? I am the Lord. Don't contradict me. See? New Testament reminds us. Mark 12:31. And the second, Christ said, the second greatest commandment is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. He's talking about the top of the top, the most important commandments. To fail these is to commit the greatest of sins. Romans, a couple of passages. Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love the neighbor. How would love treat the neighbor, you see? Romans 15:1-2. Then we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. We don't laugh at the weak. We don't mock the weak. We help, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Pleasing the neighbor to help him grow. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then in James 2:8. If ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well. Number 7 is to show love even to your enemy. As animosity grows toward Christianity and to the Christians, because they have convinced themselves that nobody knows the truth, there is no actual true religion, everybody has their own kind of religion, their own belief system, and it's just as good as anybody else because nobody knows, then we who say we do know and we are right and you should become like us. We earn their animosity. How do we deal with that? We are to love them. Leviticus 19:18, thou shalt not avenge nor bear. Show love to your enemy. Got on the wrong one. Number 7. Matthew 5:43-44, our text, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. I'll show you some of that in a little bit. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Going back then to Exodus 23:4-5, if thou meet thine enemy's ox or his ass, his donkey, going astray. This is the guy you don't like, the guy that doesn't like you. And you see that one of his animals has strayed away. You find the thing that he's lost, the valuable thing that he's lost. You find it. What are you going to do? God says, thou shalt surely bring it back to him again. This is doing good to the one that hates you, you see. If thou see the ass of him that hateth thee lying under his burden, the guy is such a mean guy, he put such a burden on that the donkey falls down, can't get back up, and wouldst forbear to help him, you would like to just let that poor thing die, and your enemy is then out one donkey, see? Thou shalt surely help with him. That means undoing the burden, helping the donkey up, you know, getting it perhaps arranged better. You actually taking time to do this for your enemy. Psalm 7:4. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that was without cause as mine enemy. He says, I have not hurt people that were not hurting me. In fact, I have helped people who were hurting me. Proverbs 25:21. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. If he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Now, you don't do this saying, aha, coals of fire on his head. It just means he's going to feel bad about being your enemy. You see? Again, Luke 6, 27-28. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them, say blessings to those that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. Luke 6, 34-35. Here's the one that I was referring to earlier about lending. If you lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have you? He says there's nothing praiseworthy about lending to somebody and getting it paid back. That's just business. For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much again. That is just the way of the world. This isn't a great Christian virtue. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. So if you trust somebody enough to lend them something, you also in your mind say, I have given it to them. I may never see it, and that's okay. Hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. How good is God to the unsaved? Romans 12:14. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Don't do both, he says. He knows us, doesn't he? Bless them that persecute you. Romans 12:20-21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. He's quoting the Proverbs. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. We don't fight fire with fire. We fight fire with the water of goodness. In 1 Corinthians 4:12-13, and labor working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, said evil of, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. But we keep on doing good back to them. See? 1 Peter 2:23, who when he, Christ, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Oh yeah? Bad things to you too. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. The Lord will repay. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing. Railing is just telling people off. That's the phrase. But contrariwise, blessing, knowing that you are there unto called, that you should inherit a blessing. Let me close with two quotes, one from J.B. Lightfoot. He was a great student of Jewish literature, and he wanted us to understand that when Christ said, you have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, that this was actively being taught. Here, those poisonous canons, a canon is a rule, those poisonous rules might be produced whereby they are trained up in eternal hatred against the Gentiles, against Israelites themselves, who do not, in every respect, walk with them in the same traditions and rites. They were taught to actively hate Gentiles and Jews that would not follow as much as they'd follow. He says, let this one example be instead of very many, which are met with everywhere. The heretical Israelites that is, they of Israel that worship idols, or who transgress to provoke God, also Epicurean Israelites, following Epicurus, that is, Israelites who deny the law and the prophets, are by precept to be slain, if any can slay them, and that openly. Murder them, he says. But if not openly, you may compass their death secretly and by subtlety. Here's the teaching of the rabbis. If they've gone astray, don't help them back. Murder them in their sleep. He goes on a little after. But as to Gentiles, with whom we have no war, and likewise to the shepherds of smaller cattle and others of that sort, they do not so plot their death, but it is forbidden them to deliver them from the death if they are in danger of it. So you don't plot their death, these lesser evil people, but if they're going to die, turn away. Let it happen. For instance, here's a quote. A Jew sees one of them fallen into the sea. Let him by no means lift him out thence. For it is written, thou shalt not rise up against the blood of thy neighbor. But this is not thy neighbor. We canceled him out. We're not a neighbor. So the young man asked Christ, well, who's my neighbor? Christ said, somebody that you can help. And he ends by saying, further, an Israelite who alone sees another Israelite transgressing and admonishes him, he tells him he shouldn't do that. If he repents not, he's bound to hate him. Cross him off your list. Don't invite him for feast days. John Calvin, on a more positive note, closes with this. We learn from these words how far believers ought to be removed from every kind of revenge, even mental revenge. For they are not only forbidden to ask it from God, but are commanded to banish and efface it from their minds so completely as to bless their enemies. In the meantime, they do not fail to commit their cause to God. You tell God the problems you're having till he take vengeance on the reprobate. God does it, not you. For they desire, as far as lies in them, that the wicked should return to a sound mind, that they may not perish, that they may endeavor to promote their salvation. And there is still this consolation by which all their distresses are soothed. They entertain no doubt that God will be the avenger of obstinate wickedness, so as to make it manifest. God will make their downfall very open, that those who are unjustly attacked are the objects of his care. It is very difficult indeed, and altogether contrary to the disposition of the flesh, to render good for evil, so contrary to our normal way of thinking. But our vices and weakness ought not to be pleaded as an apology. Well, I'm only human, that's why I knocked him on his back, see? No, yeah. Your failure is not an excuse. And he closes with this. We ought simply to inquire, ask this of ourselves, what is demanded by the law of charity, of love? For if we rely on the heavenly power of the Spirit, we shall encounter successfully all that is opposed to it in our feelings. If you can't do it on your own, can you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit within you? And the answer is yes, because God sees to it that we have that ability. Let's bow for prayer. Father, everywhere we turn, you're asking us to look at the world, respond to the world, and deal with the world in love. Love is saying it's not about us and how we feel and how prosperous we are. It's about you and others. And when you have blessed us enough that we can help others, then we find it as a debt. We find it as something that is owed to them, and that debt has been revealed by you. I ask, Father, then you might help us then to to pray that in all these things we will have the ability to ask to grow and abound in love, dealing with every part of our life. We ask that you might show us how to grow in that and become Christ-like and become God-like. With heads bowed, eyes closed, maybe you're saying, I am not a good example of showing love to the people that hate me. Perhaps I'm not even a good example of showing love to my neighbors, people that I know, even relatives that rubbed me the wrong way. My prayer tonight is that God will forgive me of this and to train me in righteousness. If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up, say, pray for me. I need to love as God loves. Yes, amen. Others. Father, we thank you that we have the ability to read the Word of God, understand the Word of God, and you have made it plain with all of these scriptures that it is the attitude of love that you have shown us that we ought to be showing to others. So we ask that you might help us to grow and build that love in ourselves. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.